I think Hollywood is absolutely in love with the idea of human cloning. They can sort of use it as the archetypical villain. Cloning fears play on a couple of things. They sort of challenge our notion of uniqueness and individuality. They also sort of raise the issue of, well, how much of who we are can be duplicated or replicated or manufactured.
In this podcast by Owen, Brooke, Leslie, Elena, and Susie, we dive into the ethics of using cloning and genetic modification to help species survive harmful human activity.
Society has certain feelings around cloning. This includes the cloning of people and animals. Some of this may stem from all of the media created that involves cloning and how it can go wrong. There are several movies, books, and TV shows about this topic, like The Clone Wars. The cloning can cause various moral dilemmas. However, real cloning is not the same as the movies, and the results aren't nearly so dramatic. Cloning can occur naturally in the world with bacteria. Scientists were able to successfully clone animals that don't function this way. These experiments have been going on since 1885. People such as Hans Dreyer and Hans Spemann worked to understand the science behind splitting cells apart and creating another being. This began with small animals like salamander and frogs, then escalated to larger animals like sheep. The lamb Dolly, cloned by Wilmot and Campbell, was considered special since she was not cloned from embryonic cells. More recently, scientists have escalated to monkeys in the hopes of getting closer to potentially cloning humans. This has more clear moral issues, but is it different when applied to animals? We've cloned several farm animals by now, as well as domestic animals we'd consider for the household. Pet cloning has been an idea many have considered following through with. Some take issue with it, and some don't. Exotic animals are another case entirely. Would we be doing more harm than good? Since cloning has been successful with a variety of animals, it stands to reason it could be successful on quickly dying species. This brings into question the ethics of cloning. Is it morally acceptable for humans to clone animals to save the species? Does the reasoning not matter in terms of the morality of cloning? This we must dive further into. What reason do we have to do this? Is it because we don't want a species to go extinct for the preservation of nature, or is it to assuage our own guilt for the part we played? Does the motivation behind the action make it acceptable to clone, or is it morally reprehensible regardless? So many of these things must be taken into consideration when trying to come up with an answer to this ethical question. We will discuss these matters in the coming segments of the podcast.
Although there may be some positive reasons why cloning and GMOs, also referred to as genetically modified organisms, are morally permissible, there are numerous reasons for the opposite, why they are not morally permissible. For example, with GMOs, they are often not created for the benefit of the animal, but for human intention and reasoning. There are multiple examples of this, but one is from the National Library of Medicine. In the article, Genetic Engineering of Animals, Ethical Issues, Including Welfare Concerns, by Elizabeth H. Ormandy, Julie Dale, and Gilly Griffin. In this article, they explain how sea creatures such as sea anemone, zebrafish, and jellyfish have been genetically modified and engineered as a result of inserting genes in them to express fluorescent proteins. These express fluorescent proteins are commonly referred to in the United States as glowfish and have been marketed in the U.S. as ornamental pet fish as early as 2003. This explains how the genetically engineered organisms weren't fully developed for the benefit of the sea creature, but instead were developed for human interest, driven by economic benefits as a result of selling these sea creatures as pets to the United States citizens. This is not morally permissible due to the fact that rather than being created for the benefit of the animal, they are being created for the benefit of humans. Another reason why genetically modified organisms are not morally permissible is how they can affect biodiversity. The government of the Netherlands explains how genetically modified organisms are created with various traits, which can affect the pre-existing biodiversity and therefore could cause existing species to be overrun. This is also not morally permissible because by creating the genetically modified organisms, it doesn't bring any benefit for the local ecosystem, but rather potentially hurts the biodiversity and could cause the existing species to lose food sources and possibly go endangered. Not only are there negative effects with GMOs, but also with genetic cloning. Although genetic cloning may be used to repopulate a species that may be endangered or on the verge of being endangered, it is not a morally permissible task. For example, most of the time, the animals who are genetically cloned do not develop healthy individuals. The National Human Genome Research Institute explains how not only is the likelihood of successful birth rate very low once born, the animal commonly experiences adverse health effects such as premature aging and vital organ defects. This is not morally permissible because rather than creating a healthy animal, the cloned organism has to endure pain and suffering as a result of the adverse health effects that follow the genetic cloning. These health effects are so great that if the cloned species reproduces, it can cause negative health effects for future generations of that species, which is another reason why it is not morally permissible. That is why genetically modified species and cloning are not morally permissible.
Many people are on the side of the argument for using genetic modification and/or cloning technology to help other species survive the harmful effects of human activity. One side of this controversial argument ultimately agrees with the genetic modification or cloning of animals. Ultimately, both genetic modification and cloning may help with reproduction rates, extinction, and disease protection, and create more resources for the world to use. Because we as humans have created inconsistent living conditions for animals, such as climate, genetic modification could help towards the adaptability of species. Similarly, cloning has the added benefit of reproducing species with strong genes, such as cloning a breed of cow that tends to be the most versatile. Although these are all great arguments for the use of genetic modification and cloning, there of course are downfalls to this, such as the morality of doing this towards animals. For genetic modification, these following facts and/or assumptions argue in support of the matter. Now, according to the National Center for Biotechnology Information, cloning may prove to be an important tool to be used alongside other forms of assisted reproduction to help retain genetic diversity in small populations of endangered species. Now, here we could see that because of genetic modification, this may help with endangered species keeping up their population rates. And similarly, they also believe that an assorted range of agricultural livestock applications aimed at improving animal productivity, food quality, and disease resistance, and environmental sustainability are also an aspect of genetic modification. Now, with disease control, this could include resistance to prion diseases, which is when a prion protein clumps in the brain, which causes damage, parasite control, mastitis prevention, which is an inflammation of breast tissue that can occur while breastfeeding. Now, as we could see here, these are all pretty straightforward reasons of why genetic modification in animals is good. And now, according to the Biotechnology Information Organization, the genetic engineering of animals offers solutions for improving public health and enhancing the quality of life. The benefits include advancing human health, enhancing food production, reducing the environmental impact, optimizing animal health and welfare, and the production of cutting-edge industrial applications. Now, likewise, these are the arguments in favor of animal cloning. So, an argument for cloning is that they may, for example, help grieving pet owners create a clone of their new pet, which, of course, there could be downfalls to this, such as incorrect cloning with the embryos and so forth. Now, the FDA also believes that clones allow farmers to upgrade the overall quality of their herds by providing more copies of the best animals in the herd. These animals are then used for conventional breeding, and the sexually reproduced offspring become the food-producing animals. Now, here we could see that another upside of cloning is that it may help in the farming industry in creating more resources that are available to humans. And similarly, according to the National Geographic, animals have been cloned to have gene mutations that help scientists study diseases that develop in the animals. So not only is cloning a very scientific matter, but it also is an advantage in the scientific community as it helps to ensure that scientists are getting the most up-to-date data regarding genetic mutations, different embryonic issues, and issues that are similar to that are extremely important when concerning the ethics and or morality of genetic modification and or cloning. Many people...
Hi, this is Owen. Genetic modification has been the subject of lots of discourse lately. Boxes in public stores pride themselves in being GMO-free, leading people to choose them for their health or ethical reasons. But are they really that bad, and should they be used to help species survive? While cloning is replicating DNA, genetic modification is editing it. Many worry that these changes in DNA may lead to adverse health effects such as allergic reactions or cancer. For example, the Center for Food Safety says the growth hormone RBGH, which is used to increase milk production in cows, has been linked to increased cancer rates and hormones in the bloodstream. So some degree of skepticism makes sense, but these instances are few and far between. A significant portion of our diets contain modified foods, and the one or two times there is an adverse reaction, it's blown way out of proportion by the media due to the fear-based health fads currently taking hold. The FDA itself says genetic modification is safe and strictly regulated. It is just as safe as non-edited food, and yet it keeps all the benefits that come from the changes made by scientists. It's reasonable to say that genetic modification is safe, or at the very least not harmful. So now comes the ethical portion. Stepping past that fear of genetic modification, it becomes clear why we need to use it to help species survive. We already know that it is a safe and well-regulated process, but still, the editing of the DNA of an animal may seem like a violation of life or nature. However, this editing happens constantly through evolution. DNA mutates regularly, and if that mutation creates an advantage in that species' environment, then that species evolves to fit those conditions. And the conditions every species on Earth is faced with right now is climate change. By modifying species that are at a risk of going extinct to give them the tools that they need to survive in the changing climate, we're simply skipping that part of the mutation process that wouldn't have occurred fast enough to save the species. And let's not forget why this situation even needs to be considered in the first place. It's because of us. Humans caused climate change. It's our fault the Earth can no longer harbor these species, so it's our responsibility to fix it. John Stuart Mill, an advocate for utilitarianism, would agree with this stance. Utilitarianism is an ethical framework that considers three things: hedonism, consequentialism, and impartiality. Hedonism is the general promotion of happiness, which saving species from extinction definitely would. A world barren of biodiversity is not a world I would want to live in. Life is what makes Earth special. It sets it apart from the other cold, dry rocks floating in space. Imagine having to explain to your child what an elephant or a monarch butterfly was, because the species had died off before they were born. The World Wildlife Fund places these species in immediate danger of climate change. If we don't do anything about it, they will go extinct. Consequentialism is the balance of the consequences given a decision. Negatively speaking, we already know that genetic modification is safe to use, and that species would already evolve on their own given the time that they don't have. so the negative consequences would be minimal. And positively speaking, it would save so many animals from going extinct, helping them acclimate to the rapidly changing climate. Finally, impartiality says that all parties must be considered equally. Humans can't just help themselves, they have to consider everything else living on the planet too, which is exactly why we need to use genetic modification to save species. But we can't just use this as a way out from fixing our mistakes. First and foremost, we have to get our act together and stop climate change from getting any worse. Once carbon emissions are under control and the climate begins to stabilize, then we can assess which species still need assistance in adjusting. So, with limits and regulations, genetic modification is absolutely the way to go in saving species from harmful human activity.
Genetic modifications and cloning. Our human species have been used those technologies over the decades, from the 1889 when the first ever demonstrations of artificial embryo twinnings, then it escalated to our humans adapt in our human species. And those genetic modifications and the clonings is primarily used for increasing adaptability by controlling the disease or the genetic factors which can affect one species' health and mortality. And there's a lot of examples for the benefits of those technologies. First, it may preserve the a species diversity in our ecosystem. The cloning can produce a lot of increasing the populations of endangered species. And second, the modified or cloned embryo can be used for revealing the problem related to genetics in the laboratory. And the third, the cloning can make the can be used for sources for treating the pet owner suffering from the pet loss syndrome mentally. And first, it does increase the quality of farm animals, so that we can expect the more disease resistance and healthier farm animal with a cheaper price. There's a lot of effects. However, those cannot compensate for the following ethical issues produced by those technologies. And the first is it doesn't produce the benefit for animals, but in fact for fulfilling humans' desire. And for example, a lot of genetically modified species are used in laboratory sessions for making monies. And also the pet are sold, but pet is also genetically modified for making more attractive for human species and can be sold for those people. And the second is the biodiversity. I mentioned earlier that it can preserve the biodiversity in our ecosystem. However, in fact, it denatures the coexist species by overrunning the specific species, like the corn. And the third is the genetic cloning. It can produce the premature aging and the earlier deaths than normal species. So in light of the utilitarianism, it will be permissible to use the technologies to use the genetics modifications. However, for the clonings, it will be not permissible, because since it will makes the agonists of the genetically mod of the clone species with the premature aging and a negative side effect.
So, while genetic modification may be a useful tool in helping species survive climate change, cloning is pushing it too far and can lead to reproductive issues. Thank you for listening.